then you heard the, I guess it's a recording at Blog Talk saying 1 minute till showtime. Okay, Blog Talk apparently is having a nervous breakdown. We tried putting this special report together last night and putting it on air, and it wouldn't let us on at all. They had a total breakdown. Now today, again, it's having a mini breakdown, so I apologize. So this is Progressive News Network. Once again, or PNN as I call it. We also have a companion show that airs periodically, EJR, or the Environmental Justice Report. My name is Janine Maloff. I am the producer and host. And so I felt the need to have this special show, it's a shorter one, because there's this cowardly whisper campaign. It's dirty whisper campaign to undermine President Biden, and looks like it's being led by Democratic Party leaders like Pelosi and Hakeem Jeffries and Barack Obama, and also top donors like Jeffrey Katzenberg. And it was hauled into high gear after that sad little debate. Now, apparently, these Democratic Party bosses, they're worried about their own political skins, and they're blaming Biden for their failures. All right? These were the same politicians that failed to stand up to Trumpism, failed to call major press conferences to denounce this growing fascism. Instead, they issue these lawyerly statements on their websites, which most people don't read. Now, these are the same politicians that refuse to push Medicare for All, for instance. Remember Pelosi thing, never going to happen. They refuse to push an increase in the minimum wage and other dire fiscal needs. And rather than listening to the people, these cowards whined that they didn't have the votes, but basically while doing nothing to fight for those votes. So now they're pushing what I call this, again, dirty whisper campaign to label Biden as in, quote, cognitive decline, end quote. Even George Clooney got into the mess writing a sad little editorial that was published in the New York Times. Now, make no mistake. This horrible letter that Clooney published in the New York Times op-ed section, you know, full of sentence fragments and just, it was just so sad. The only reason the New York Times published it is because it's George Clooney, because he's a celebrity. So anyway, I did some digging and I discovered the inconsistencies and the lies of this, behind this whisper campaign, okay? We will have, if we have time allowing, a couple musical parodies as well. So, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Biden, and, you know, I've said it before, when Biden talks like this or has these long pauses or looks like he's hunting for a word, those are all indicative of disfluency or stuttering. Now, none of these politicians are qualified to make that determination because they're not speech-language pathologists, but oops, before I was a journalist, for 30 years, I was a speech-language pathologist. Biden's not in cognitive decline. He is a stutterer, and again, it's hard for him. Keep in mind, while it's important to be able to present things on TV, there were other famous stutterers. Winston Churchill comes to mind. Save most of Europe, he was a horrible stutterer. Moses, again. So once again, they are basically, not only is this about ageism, which is discrimination, but discriminating against somebody with a speech disability. So I wrote this piece, and I'm just going to read it to you. Published in Nation of Change today. Okay? So hope you enjoy it. Here we go. The headline reads, George Clooney pushed ageist tropes against Biden in New York Times. Then Lester Holt and others piled up as well, instead of whistleblowing Project 2025. Now, that's the headline. I'm going to stop here for a second. Why this sudden concern about Biden's age? Because then politicians on both sides get to wiggle out and they don't have to talk about Project 2025 because donors actually give to both parties. Let's go on with the article. Recently, actor George Clooney was published in the New York Times editorial section. I'm going to make this a little bigger. Okay, let me start again. Recently, actor George Clooney was published in the New York Times editorial section. His piece was a puerile indictment against President Biden, pleading with him to drop out of the race against Donald Trump. The op-ed was filled with ageist tropes equating advancing age with unavoidable senility. Here, Clooney's ham-handed attempt to practice medicine without a license was center stage as he wrongfully conflated a speech disability, aka disfluency or stuttering, with cognitive decline. They are not the same. This bigoted trope has gained traction due to Clooney's popularity with middle-aged women who find him attractive. That being said, the accusations of senility, whether implied or directly stated, require actual proof. Implying someone is senile or in cognitive decline is a serious offense that can wreck a reputation. It is also a form of cowardly political sabotage and bigotry when failing to, again, provide any proof other than anecdote and gossip. Now, Clooney began his hit piece with a statement of friendship and love for Joe Biden. In fact, he stated his love for Joe Biden in the headline. To quote from the op-ed, quote, "I love Joe Biden as a senator, period." Now, it doesn't say period in there, okay? These are the sentence fragments. So I'll say it again. Quote, "I love Joe Biden as a senator, as a vice president, and as president. I consider him a friend, and I believe in him, believe in his character, believe in his morals," end quote. Sentence fragments aside, this qualifier feels a lot like the old, "it's not that I'm racist, but" trope. Now, no one is accusing Clooney of being a racist, but this trope rings true. Ageism is as much a form of bigotry as racism or sexism. Unfortunately, ageism seems to be the one socially acceptable form of bigotry amongst those who preach tolerance. So how did this ageist trope gain traction in the corporate media, especially when considering the pesky fact that Trump is only 3 years younger than Biden? The anecdotal senility accusation timeline. These attacks began with the debate between Biden and Trump. Poor performance aside from both candidates, vicious media scrutiny has focused solely on President Biden. Trump demonstrated his usual word salad, punctuated with an assortment of outlandish accusations and claims that he spewed forth with the speed of an AR-15. The CNN moderators, Jake Tapper and Dana Bash, failed to fact-check any of the horse excrement coming out of Trump's mouth. Trump got away with multiple blatant lies, which included Nancy Pelosi accepting the blame for the January 6th insurrection, as well as blaming Biden for Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the October 7th Hamas attack on Israel. Additionally, Trump raged on about post-birth abortions, which are not a thing. Abortions occur before birth and before viability, but that's not the point. Fundamentalists are determined to wrongfully link abortion with infanticide. Again, the moderators sat there and let Trump tell lie after lie, never challenging his wild claims. There was no demand for any cited sources. Trump's bloviating lies were deemed acceptable, while Biden stood there stunned, as most honest people would be, by their sheer volume. In short, Trump used the illegitimate debate tactic known as the Gish-Gallup fallacy. The Gish-Gallup fallacy. And I'm going to stop here for my article in a minute. We did a show about this about a month or so ago to let you know, so you can look on our archive. Back to the article. The Gish-Gallup fallacy. To quote, quote, "The Gish-Gallup is a rhetorical technique that involves overwhelming your opponent with as many arguments as possible with no regard for the accuracy, validity, or relevance of those arguments. Often this illegitimate strategy employs using, quote, a large number of vague claims, anecdotal statements, misinterpreted facts, and irrelevant comments," end quote. I want to mention also everything in here is properly documented. You can go to the article, see the documentation yourself. Back to the article. Put bluntly, Biden was gish-galloped, and the moderators proved to be little more than houseplants. I sincerely doubt if Clooney himself could have responded any better. The George Stephanopoulos hatchet job. Clooney made mention of the interview President Biden granted George Stephanopoulos after the debate, writing that, quote, "the George Stephanopoulos interview only reinforced what we saw the week before," end quote. In the interest of accuracy, I downloaded the full transcript of the interview. In total, Stephanopoulos asked 53 questions, and 23 of them focused on Biden's age and alleged decline. Not once did Stephanopoulos offer a single cited source proving these slanderous accusations. Instead, Stephanopoulos reiterated the same ageist trope. Biden provided answers to each question while tolerating this hatchet job with maturity and grace. Stephanopoulos then moved on to the polls and popularity ratings. To quote the erstwhile journalist, quote, "Mr. President, I've never seen a president 36% approval get reelected," end quote. Apparently, Stephanopoulos has a problem with sentence structure as well. Could he be in cognitive decline? In actuality, recent studies have shown political polls to be often inaccurate. James Rosen wrote a piece for the Boston Globe outlining the problem with polls in 2024, explaining how the polls failed to accurately predict outcomes in the last three elections. Rosen explained that given the volatility of today's political climate, combined with the misinformation flooding social media, past voting patterns of various demographics are no longer an accurate predictor. In fact, he outlined the various ways polls are inaccurate. Taking a little drink here. My voice is starting to give. Okay, back to this. To quote Rosen, quote, "The dominance of cell phones and caller ID programs on landlines has made what statisticians call the response rate plummet. Two, there are too many political pollsters conducting too many polls. Number three, the internet, with its voracious appetite and greatly expanded space for new information, no matter how incremental, has made some political journalists less discriminating and fueled more questionable polling. The financial pressures on news organizations have increased the need for digital readers, which has led to election articles that are little more than clickbait." End quote. And that's from the Boston Globe. This last point is directed at Stephanopoulos. The interview he conducted with President Biden was not only a dirty hatchet job, but little more than brain-dead clickbait. Clooney's op-ed, once again, an ageist trope. George Clooney wrote it himself, explaining why he is pleading for Biden to drop out of the race. To quote from the New York Times op-ed, quote, "This is about age, nothing more," end quote. Rarely has a confession of subliminal bigotry been so succinctly stated. Ageism is one of the last permissible bigotries that transcends political parties. Lester Holt reversed blame on insightful rhetoric blaming Biden for shooting. This isn't merely about Clooney. Journalist Lester Holt had an interview with Biden Monday night. Holt focused on the strong rhetoric Biden used to denounce the violence that Trump has inspired. This line of questioning was a response to the assassination attempt on Trump this past Sunday. Holt kept hammering Biden regarding what he would do to, quote, "lower down the temperature, the rhetoric out there," end quote. And that came from the NBC News full transcript of the interview. Back to the article. Biden pushed back at the accusation, explaining that, quote, "it matters whether or not you accept the outcome of elections. It matters whether or not you, for example, talk about how you're going to deal with the border instead of talking about people as being vermin and all. That's the kind of language that is inflammatory," end quote. Holt pushed a false equivalence between Biden's rhetoric and that of Trump, but Biden refused to be bullied and stood his ground, stating that, quote, "I'm not the guy that said I wanted to be a dictator on day one. I'm not the guy that refused to accept the outcome of the election," end quote. Holt kept pushing the idea that Biden's rhetoric and that of Democrats in general was somehow responsible for the shooting, asking whether he should have done, quote, "a little soul searching on things you may have said that could incite people who are not balanced," end quote. Rightfully exasperated, Biden redirected this asinine line of questioning by asking Holt, quote, "how do you talk about the threat to democracy, which is real, when a president says things like he says? Do you just not say anything because it may incite somebody? Look, I have not engaged in that rhetoric," end quote. Biden countered with the truth, stating that, quote, "my opponent has engaged in that rhetoric, talks about there'd be a bloodbath if he loses, talking about how he's going to forgive all the, actually I guess suspend the sentences of all those who were arrested and sentenced to go to jail because of what happened in the Capitol. I'm not out there making fun of, like, remember the picture of Donald Trump where Nancy Pelosi's husband was hit with the hammer going, talking about, joking about it, end quote. Biden reminded Holt of Charlottesville, how Trump's MAGA army came, quote, out of the woods with torches, carrying swastikas, singing the same Nazi bile that was accompanied by this Ku Klux Klan, end quote. Next, Rachel Maddow piled up on Biden, calling his interview with Holt combative. Apparently, defending his own reputation is now taboo while Trump gets a pass. NPR's Ben Giles also ganged up as the headline read, quote, Biden bristles at continued questions about his age and abilities in NBC interview, end quote. There was no similar attack on Trump's routine word salad as demonstrated in a video clip. And I'm going to play this video clip for you. But give me a second. My computer is very slow. Hope it plays. Oops. Okay.
Moment in the history of our country, Afghanistan, where we left billions of dollars of equipment behind. We lost 13 beautiful soldiers, and 38 soldiers were obliterated. And by the way, we left people behind, too. We left American citizens behind. When Putin saw that, he said, you know what? I think we're going to go in and maybe take my – this was his dream. I talked to him about it, his dream. The difference is he never would have invaded Ukraine, never, just like – Israel would have never been invaded in a million years by Hamas. You know why? Because Iran was broke with me. I wouldn't let anybody do business with them. They ran out of money. They were broke. They had no money for Hamas. They had no money for anything. No money for terror. That's why you had no terror at all during my administration. This place, the whole world is blowing up under him. No.
Okay. So, and that's of Trump's, you know, more sensible type thing. He's rattling on from thing to thing. So back to my article. So again, I read, there was no similar attack on Trump's routine word salad, okay? Frankly, these alleged liberal outlets perseverating on Biden's age are doing Fox's dirty work while ignoring the Republican plot to undermine Democratic rule, namely Project 2025. Corporate media fixates on Biden's age instead of reporting on Project 2025. And I'm going to stop here for a minute. I think that's a big part of why they're fixating on Biden's age, so that on the Democratic side, they don't have to talk about Project 2025 because, again, there are some Democratic corporatist pals, politicians that get money from the same corporations as Republicans. Just my opinion. Okay, let's go back to my article. Corporate media fixates on Biden's age instead of reporting on Project 2025. Project 2025 is a 900-plus page policy document that was largely crafted by former Trump staffers, and that's as documented by eenews.net. Enter Democracy Forward, the news ignored by corporate media. Democracy Forward is a national group of attorneys fighting for democratic rule and social progress. They provide these services free of charge and have produced a user-friendly guide to Project 2025. This Project 2025 snapshot lists proposals that could be implemented solely by presidential dictate without any new legislation or congressional approval. This attack on our rights includes the following, quote, number one, cut overtime protections for 4.3 million workers. Two, stop efforts to lower prescription drug prices. Three, limit access to food assistance, which an average of more than 40 million people in 21.6 million households rely on monthly. Four, eliminate the Head Start Early Education Program, which serves over 1 million children annually. Five, cut American Rescue Plan programs that have created or saved 220,000 jobs. Six, restrict access to medication abortion. Seven, push more of the 33 million people enrolled in Medicare towards Medicare Advantage and other worse private options. 8, expose the 368,000 children in foster care to risk of increased discrimination. 9, deny students in 25 states and Washington, D.C. access to student loans because their state provides in-state tuition to undocumented immigrants. And 10, roll back civil rights protections across multiple fronts, including cutting diversity, equity, and inclusion-relating programs and LGBTQ plus rights in healthcare, education, and workplaces. And that comes from Democracy Forward's own website. Now, those are a few of the highlights that journalists like Stephanopoulos and Lester Holt chose to ignore as they focused on Biden's age and speech impediment. Ironically, there's more in Project 2025 that attacks democracy itself. Project 2025 has created a formula for racists to follow at a level that makes Jim Crow proud. It attacks the disparate impact doctrine used to fight more subtle racist policies and laws. Ending the disparate impact doctrine would bring another pillar of Jim Crow raging back, as racists would hide behind the colorblind bromide. Judges could automatically toss out discrimination cases unless the complaint listed evidence of specific and obvious injuries based on race. And Project 2025 makes a few cookbook suggestions showing how to eradicate the policy on page 72. To quote from page 72, quote, courts have ruled that even without evidence of overt intentional discrimination, such results might suggest discrimination. The rest of the quote, end quote, the rest of the quote on page 72, offers a few suggestions. Quote, this doctrine of disparate impact could be ended legislatively or at least narrowed through the regulatory process by a future administration, end quote. And this comes directly from the Project 2025 document itself, which I downloaded, all 922 pages. Going with my piece. A definition of the disparate impact doctrine is provided by the Legal Information Institute of the Cornell Law School. Quote, disparate impact, also adverse impact, commonly refers to unintentional discriminatory practice, whereas disparate treatment, also adverse treatment, refers to intentional discriminatory practice. The definition, end quote, the definition's key point lies in the next sentence. Quote, a disparate impact policy or rule is one that seems neutral, but has a negative impact on a specific protected class of persons, end quote. I'm going to read that last sentence again because it is critical. Quote, a disparate impact policy or rule is one that seems neutral, but has a negative impact on a specific protected class of persons, end quote. Disparate impact doctrine put an end to this chicanery by making these policies the subject of successful anti-discrimination litigation. Another way to describe this semantic trap of alleged colorblind policies is to envision three men trying to cross a busy intersection on foot. The traffic light allows 30 seconds to cross, which is fine for the young man who runs track, and is barely adequate for the older man carrying groceries. A third man with no legs, no crutches, or no wheelchair is granted the same 30 seconds. In theory, it's the same treatment, but those pushing this rule know the third man never had a chance, and that was according to plan. In spite of this existential emergency, privileged celebs like Clooney and journalists like Stephanopoulos and Lester Holt fixate on Biden's age, even though Trump is only 3 years younger. Furthermore, in spite of this nonstop incendiary language coming from Trump and the MAGA lynch mob, these journalists demand an apology from Biden and the Democrats. Telling the truth about Trump and MAGA's love affair of neo-Nazism is now considered incendiary, while violent January 6th insurrectionists are seen as, quote, political hostages, end quote. The hypocrisy is palpable. These journalists have also implied that Biden is showing signs of cognitive decline, citing his single debate performance and a dirty whisper campaign of undocumented gossip and rumors as evidence, while granting Trump's routine word salad a pass. Put bluntly, corporate media has been aiding and abetting the growing fascism of the GOP, acting as brown-nosed lapdogs instead of the necessary fourth pillar of democracy. That is to their collective shame. As for Clooney, Stephanopoulos, Holt, and the other members of the dropout chorus, they need to leave the executive corporate offices and face the people. Their collective moral cowardice speaks for itself. As for myself, I would sooner vote for the excrement that comes out of my dog's ass than Donald Trump. And that's my article. You can check it out in Nation of Change. It published there. Once again, the main point besides the ageism, the central point of this piece was that the Republicans obviously don't want to talk about Project 2025. They want to keep it under wraps. And thank God for Taraji P. Henson, who blew the whistle, and a few others. Okay? Now it's being talked about. And, you know, like some of the provisions, like there's a provision in there where, you know, they want to, you know, basically render Medicare so it's just garbage. And what the Project 2025 authors will say is, well, it doesn't actually say that in the plan. Well, that's true. It doesn't. What it says is that they want to, through this plan, they want to basically coerce and force people, the majority of Medicare recipients, into Medicare Advantage. And if you've read anything about Medicare Advantage, you see a lot of commercials. If you're not ill and you just need like a, you know, a pneumonia shot or whatever, it looks good. The problem is if you are seriously ill, they deny treatment. And there's plenty of documentation out there. We will be talking about it more in the future. Basically, Medicare Advantage is, in my opinion, the same thing as not having insurance. All right? You come down with, you know, heart disease, and maybe you need an operation or cancer, they're just going to turn you down. And they can get away with it. Well, they say they have to follow the same rules as Medicare, but they're not actually doing it. Okay? This, it truly is a scam. And we will have a program about that, actually, not today. This was kind of an emergency program because, again, we understand why the Republicans don't want to talk about Project 2025, because they know it's a dirty scam. They know Project 2025 is a cookbook to strip us of our rights, strip us of Social Security, strip us of Medicare, strip us of workers' rights, strip us of, you know, overtime pay for workers, and so on and so forth. But then you have to wonder, why are the Democratic Party leaders refusing to talk about it? Because a lot of them get donations from corporations as well. And as long as they focus on Biden's age and they don't have to talk about actual issues, it's kind of like saying squirrel, and the dumb dogs don't notice that basically somebody else is stealing their food. That's what it is. They're focusing on Biden's age, which is not an issue, to avoid talking about Project 2025. That's the issue right there. So we have a few more things before I end this show, because it's just a little emergency. We have two musical parodies. They seem appropriate. One of them is the Battle Hymn of the Trump Public, and the other one is called You're Fired. So we're going to do the Battle Hymn of the Trump Public first. Enjoy.
God hotel and his my paradise. He said, now I need a man whose heart is cold as ice, to test the people's will and goodness when exposed to vice, to be a dictator is his aim. He'll be a man who's failed at everything but scams and theft. In a golden palace he'll reside, of taste and class bereft. He'll convince the poor he serves their needs until they've nothing left. You'll know him by its name. Glory, glory, hallelujah. God is gonna shake it to ya, that you don't realize it to ya, as God said, he'll be a wicked man to lead with hate and fear, a man corrupt above the law, immune to justice fear, a man the manly violence and is standing in the rear, and Trump shall be his name. There's so confusion across the globe, a lie with every word, say evil's good and black is white, to all the lines are blurred, calling those who act up lines for him the hostage and the turn, and Trump shall be his name. Glory, glory, hallelujah, recognize what's coming to you. The Trump who never sees his view, the deception he feeds on. God said his party will obey and never stop to think. Their throats are parched with thirst, but still they will refuse to drink. The press will be afraid to stir, his wrath will raise a stink, and Trump shall be insane. His power and position he will yield with reckless glee. The punish all who stand against him or to disagree. The punish them and harm them to the most extreme degree. And Trump shall be slain. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Know that God's about to choose the future path and do it through you.
Okay, so that one was by Don Caron. Now we have the one aptly named, You're Fired. It's old, but it's still appropriate.
Bunch of Sarah Huckabee, Marissa Mann, Haley, Giuliani, Killer, worship all Pompeo, Kelly, Wheeler, and Mulvaney, Nikki Haley, Jay Perdue, and for Military Bashoo, Rich Grinnell, Aja Pai, and the Maduro guys. All these guys are fired. They are not retired. It's the Trump Alliance. They're so sick and tired. Don't go into hiding, cause it's time to fire. Climate change denial, bodies with the pedophile.
China virus.
Kung flu. CNN is
fake news.
Trump lied, people died, golfing all the frickin' time. Sharpie gate, insulting Jews, finding women's right to choose. Drinking bleach, God in peace, no respect for RBG. Camping cages like a zoo, I don't really care to you.
Donald Trump, you're fired. You are not retired, because you're a liar. We're so sick and tired. It's a time to hide, it's a time to find it. Ending up the drain, the swamp, sordid Stormy Daniels drunk, Tulsa rally, Juneteenth, hydroxychloroquine, tear gassing citizens, tweeting while on Ambien, paper towel, basketball, has no COVID plan at all. Very stable genius, ego is enormous, Dakota active pipeline, Putin is a friend of mine. Steals, drills, and fracks, doesn't pay his income tax, stupid China trade war, we can't take it anymore.
Donald Trump, you're fired.
By Nick Laughlin. It was wonderful. Okay, so we're almost done here. Okay, so here's the thing. I allowed an hour because I didn't know how long it would take. We have 20 minutes left. We're not going to use it all, obviously. I want to add something here because sometimes people assume because of the piece I wrote that I was always pro-Biden. I wasn't. I was a burner. I wanted Bernie. That being said, however, Biden has not only gotten quite a bit done, but he has been more, I'm glad he's combative these days. You know, it's about time some Democrats did, because aside from Bernie and a few others, none of them were actually challenging and fighting Trump. And I think that Joe Biden, rather than quitting, needs to show more of that, you know, that little tough guy routine. We need Dark Brandon. I'm just going to say it, okay? Call out Trump for not only the neo-Nazi that he is, but call out the entire Republican Party. Remind people that over a million Americans needlessly died during COVID because Trump and his people lied about the danger. Now, they love to blame Fauci, saying, well, first Fauci said you don't need masks. That's not exactly true. We did a whole series about COVID during the height. And the fact is, in the beginning, Fauci was pleading with people not to go out and buy surgical quality masks because they were in short supply. That's not the same thing as saying you don't need to wear a mask. All right? And there's been, I have to bring back some of those shows, but close of those million plus people that perished, practically half of them would still be alive today if we had an actual sensible policy that used good mitigation strategies. You know, wearing a mask, showing consideration for others, not too much to ask. And, you know, then again, Trump lied about how he took credit for bringing the vaccine to fruition. Not true, okay? The basic research that provided the vaccine was a minimum of 30 years old. All they did was tweak it. That's it, and hurry it to market. Nothing more. It was Biden that provided it free of cost. So once again, I know I'm kind of rambling a little bit. I put this together very quickly. I wrote that article very quickly. So once again, I urge everybody, especially if you're younger, don't let Trump win by the couch vote where you fail to vote. Make sure you're registered to vote and vote. And I don't care if you don't like Joe Biden, if he doesn't meet all your specifications. This is about ending Trump, making sure Trump doesn't get back into the White House, because now the Supreme Court said presidents have absolute immunity from criminal prosecution. And while Joe Biden hasn't taken advantage of that, I guarantee you Donald Trump will. Donald Trump has no problem, and neither do the Republicans, with basically murdering citizens to get what they want. Make sure you're registered to vote, and then vote. If you don't like Joe Biden, think of it as this way. It's a vote against Trump. It's a vote against fascism. It's a vote against the neo-Nazism of MAGA. Seriously. We will have our regular show on Sunday. There's a special interview my colleague Rick Spisak collected from one of his philosopher friends. Again, this was done very rapidly. I hope you learned something. Check out my article on Nation of Change. Click on it. It helps drive the traffic. Check us out on Sunday at our regular time of 3 p.m. Sunday, 3 p.m. Central. And with that, I say good day and God bless us, because we're going to need it.